What is up, Yankee fans? I'm Ryan Garcia, joined by Sam, as always. The New York Yankees take their first series in Toronto since 2024. I think it's about 365 days to the actual date itself. I believe it was a June series as well. Look, I think we all kind of looked at the injuries piling up. The Aaron Judge news earlier last week. Max Fried, obviously, has been out for a while. Giancarlo Stanton had a setback. Trent Grisham's hurt. Austin Wells can't see. I know he's starting baseball activities. We'll give you guys injury updates and a little bit more of that later. But I think there was this feeling, all right, June swoon, right? Like, here we are, June swoon, right? Like, it's unfortunate the injuries are piled up and that's where we are. But, man, credit to this squad. 5-1 road trip. You sweep the Guardians on the road and you take 2 or 3 against the Blue Jays. You play what I think has been one of their most important weeks of the season, if not their most important week of the season. And Sam, I mean, if you're a New Yorker right now, you got to be feeling really good. Like, it's just a really, my coffee tastes really good today. My water tastes really nice today. The sunshine today. It's beautiful.
Yeah, no doubt. And I want to take a moment and congratulate you and all the people watching. Shout out to my Knicks people. I know that everybody, like, if you're a Yankee fan, you're probably a Knicks fan, won the NBA Finals last night. Incredible feeling for all the New Yorkers. I'm not a Knicks guy, so I have not celebrated the championship whatsoever. But shout out to you guys. Ron, I know that you had a very fun past 24 hours. But you feel really good about this ball club right now. You go on the road to Cleveland. You look great in Cleveland. You go on the road to Toronto, which has been a house of horrors for them over the last two seasons. Like, that's where your season ended last year, getting blown out in the ALDS in Toronto, and you felt horrible about walking back in. At the beginning of the stretch, Ryan, I think that you lose Aaron Judge June 1, and then you walk into, you know, it's the Boone swoon. It's the June swoon, right, where the Yankees just continuously lose games. It does not matter what's going on with the ball club every single year. They always seem to struggle during the course of this month. And you look great right now. And I think there's a lot of positives that you could take away from this team. And you and I kind of talked about a pre-show. I think we figured out what this team is, especially with all of the injuries piling up. Their depth looks incredible. They can hit really well. They have really just, like, awesome bullpen pieces that are seeming to shine. Their starting pitching continues to carry them throughout the season. And this team looks great right now. I do not have a ton of complaints about them. I think that we know what they are. They're now number one in the American League East, which they overtook last night with Tampa Bay losing last night. Tampa Bay is currently winning 3-1 right now over Los Angeles. So, like, they're still going to keep pace. But you feel really good about this team walking out of Toronto with 2 wins.
Yeah, and I think so Friday I was at the Met game. So to watch it on replay to kind of understand what was going on Saturday morning. But Friday I was game day watching because there was a delay. I went to the game with my boy Dre, but he was late. So I was, like, sitting around for like 40 minutes, just kind of, like, you know, exploring Citi Field and just waltzing around and being an unemployed friend on a Friday, basically. And I see that my game day app, I'm like, it's 5-0. All right, we're losing this series. Like, you know, it's like, all right, right. Nice trip to Toronto. It's what we do in Toronto. But I want to first say the team as a whole, like, this wasn't a perfect series, obviously, you know, and I'm not going to ignore, like, Ryan Weathers didn't pitch well. He didn't pitch well. I didn't think Warren looked good today. They had a lot of walks this year. It's like a ton of walks. Even yesterday's game, they walked 7 guys, I think. The Blue Jays were steadily, like, just, they were working counts like crazy. Their at-bats looked really strong from that standpoint. But they missed something that the Yankees have that it baffles my mind that people don't give the Yankees credit for having this. Things of power. The Blue Jays weren't, like, outside of the first game of the series.
It was right, like, yeah.
Three-run home run. The Yankees can take you out of a ball game in a couple of swings. The Yankees can win a ball game on one swing. Anyone in that lineup, 1-9, can hit an absolute rocket and flip a game on its head immediately. We saw it with Goldschmidt on Saturday. We saw it in a 9th inning today. This team outclasses the Blue Jays offensively. I think this team outclasses the Blue Jays, honestly, even on the pitching side. I think they're just a better baseball team. They're way better. And I didn't expect... It's not that I didn't think the Yankees could be better than the Blue Jays. It's just that if you asked me on March 14th, honestly, if you asked us when we did our spring training episode, how did we feel about this team compared to the Blue Jays, you'd be like, it's going to be back and forth all summer. They're going to go duke it out. The Yankees are just better. That's why I walked away from this. We're just clearly and obviously a better, more talented roster. We did it without Judge and Stanton and all the guys I just mentioned at the start of the show.
Yeah, you're missing 4 or 5 of your opening day starters. as currently constructed. Like, that's the lineup that you're running out every single day, and you're still outclassing a team that went to the World Series last year, Ryan. The Blue Jays have obviously had their power deficiencies. I know that Vladdy only played in one game this series, but he has not hit for power for the entirety of the year. They just do not look like the same team that they were last year. And for the Yankees, yes, like, they had their issues this series. Like, Weathers did not look good. And I know that we're probably going to have a deeper discussion about him. I don't even think Cam looked great Saturday. For the amount of walks that he tallied up, he didn't look great, but he still put up 7-7 strikeouts. Like, we're still looking good if you're Cam Schlittler. And then Warren didn't look great today. I think that we're going to have a conversation about Jake Bird at some point in time. I'm not sure when that's going to happen, but from a hitting perspective, I think that you really like what you see. And I think that you look up and down that lineup, Ryan, and there's guys that can make things happen. I know that we've been super critical of Anthony Volpe as of late, but today you saw two RBI knocks, contributing in a way that we didn't think he could. And now we're finally here. You're coming through for this team. Caballero consistently showing an ability to come in the clutch and just be great defensively, play a million different positions. He played second base today with Jazz on the bench. And Ben Rice, who I know has kind of struggled throughout this period without Judge. It was funny. I was telling you pre-show that I went and I looked at his statistics since Judge has been out. And at that point in time, you're getting pitched at like the best player on the planet. And I was fully prepared to come onto the show and say, hey, you're getting pitched at like the best player on the planet. You're not coming through. And then he comes through with the big bomb in the ninth inning, puts the Yankees on top. And they just continue to churn out wins. And I think that today really described what there is a ball club, right? Because in a matter of minutes, that ball game went from 3-3 to 8-3. It was probably about 3 minutes, and it was game over. You're done. See you. We just won this ball game. I think that you really like what this ball club is as a whole. The product looks great, and you have reinforcements on the way. We talk about the bats being missing. They still don't have Max Fried either, Ryan. So what they are right now is a team being able to beat. Listen, I think the Cleveland's going to be a playoff team at the end of the line. I do think that Toronto's going to shape up and be a playoff team at the end of the line. Like, these are two American League playoff teams that you might see in October, and you play really good baseball against them without having full-time reinforcements. So I don't necessarily know where you want to start as far as, like, do you want to start with the good? Do you want to start with the bad? Like,
I want to start the good because I think we bask in the good. We talk about what they need to do better, and then we kind of put a bow on it because we'll sandwich it in between. We'll do good, bad, Aspen Vodka Player of the Series. It's some more good stuff.
For
series
sure.
Preview, boom. So I think that's a good way to kind of keep the – because at the end of the day, like, I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled. We were talking about this the pregame. This was awesome. Like, this was just really cool. Like, this was sick. You see the Yankees just – the Yankees were going into a lot of games last year against the Blue Jays where similar situations, close ball game, seventh, eighth, ninth inning in Toronto, and the Blue Jays pull out, and they get the win. And I think there was one game I can sit back and say last year where they actually pulled out and won, and it played out very similarly to today's game. Ben Rice hitting the two-run home run, it reminded me of the home run he hit last year to put the Yankees ahead in the ninth inning off of Jeff Hoffman. Yep. And the Yankees ended up losing that series. The next day, they made like five errors. Bellinger loses the ball in the lights, and that wasn't even counted as an error because those count as hits. Like, Fried melted down. It was one of the uglier, like, you forget how good that Rice home run felt because the next day was brutal, and you dropped the series to the Blue Jays, and instead of finishing in first place, you ended up having faced them as a wild card team, and you got knocked out. So
right,
these are the games that, not to say the Blue Jays are currently a threat for the division, but they're a good baseball team on paper in theory, right? Like, in theory, they should be a good baseball team. Doesn't mean they're going to be. It feels like you had an opportunity to step on their throat, and you did. You did. You kind of changed the way that you look at the AL East because now the Blue Jays are 11 games back in the loss column. And I look at this offense and I say, it wasn't perfect all series, right? Saturday was kind of like Kevin Gausman doing what Kevin Gausman does. I mean, that guy still got it, right?
Right.
You talk about an unk still got it ball game, right? Gausman shoves Goldie with the home run, right? But this offense is persistent. It's got tons of guys who can be a hero any given day. It's everybody eats, man. Everybody eats. Everyone's going to show up and you never know. Max Schumann's going to hit a double. Jose Cabello's going to hit a ball 420 feet. Anthony Volpe's going to get two out RBI hits that help you win a ball game, man. You're going to get a Paul Goldschmidt home run off of Louis Varland. Like, it's awesome, man. It really, JC Scardable, Ali Sanchez. Ali Sanchez,
right.
Sanchez, man. Right? Like, this is this is something that you don't usually see in the Judge era. It feels like the last couple of years specifically, lineup depth has become a lesser issue than years past, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I think that you and I have kind of talked about it at nauseam, where it's like, I think it was like before the year, you and I kind of went down the line. I went down the line with you as far as like Yankee rosters from like 26 to like 2017, 2018. And I think year over year, they consistently put out a better product. And I think that this is like your ultimate like mashup of like Brian Cashman's creation of the Judge era of what this Yankee lineup is. I want to piggyback off what you were talking about with Toronto and just like dropping these games. That was the big thing last year, right? They couldn't beat the American League East opponents. It ended up being the big number at the end of the season where they couldn't beat anybody in division and they couldn't beat Toronto, and it ended up costing them at the end of the season. And they had to go to Toronto and get smacked in the postseason series instead of, hey, you could have walked in with a bye, sat down for a week, hung out for a little bit. Nah, man, you got to go play in an American League Wildcard Series against Boston, which was an absolute thriller. Had a lot of fun, but it costs you at the end of the line because, hey, you got to toss out Louis Hill game one, right? Like, nobody wants to do that in a game one of an ALDS ever again. I never want to see it personally, but maybe last year plays out a little bit differently if you win three or four of those ball games, right? You're in a situation now where you're capitalizing on those opportunities and you're beating these teams in division that you're clearly better than, right? Like, I think that we can all kind of sit back, and the Fangraphs projections are going to tell you that, because the Yankees have a 70% chance to win this division, even with all of the injury stuff, which is honestly crazy to me. But you're taking advantage and you're beating the teams that you should be beating, and it looks great, right? Where I want to go next is, listen, the Yankees are going to send two first basemen to the All-Star game. It's going to happen, right? Paul Goldschmidt has been an absolute revelation for this Yankee team. What he's bringing to this team, age 38, age 39 season with a damn near 900 OPS, the home run in the clutch yesterday. I think he's hit like five home runs in his last 14 games or something like that. Like, it's a crazy ass stat that's out there about him. He looks incredible for this team, and in a position where they're dealing with so many hitter injuries, right? Like, we've already talked about it at nauseam. He has really stepped up and been an awesome contributor for this Yankee lineup that desperately needs that needs juice at this point in time. I think that they'll send both of them there. I think that it'll be him, Kurtz, and Rice that go from the American League as the first base representatives. And coming into the year, you could have told me that. I'm laughing in your face. I am laughing in your face if you're going to tell me that's what Goldschmidt's going to do for you this year. But it's at the point where this is one of the better veteran seasons that Major League Baseball has seen over the last 20 seasons. And I say that with no exaggeration. That's very legitimate. He's been awesome for this Yankee team this year.
I mean, it starts with trying to find how many hitters are 38 years old and play a significant role on a baseball team. Right. And that's a very short list.
Yeah.
So for Goldschmidt to just be on that list is pretty incredible. We talked about it when he signed here, where we really emphasized the importance of having an insurance plan for Giancarlo Stanton getting hurt, because oftentimes the Yankees would roll into seasons and Stanton would get hurt and you've got somebody from Scranton coming up and hitting in the DH spot. And not somebody who's like a Jason Dominguez, who's got prospect hype and was a talented player who showed signs of life offensively last year. We're talking about, you know, calling up a Jake Bowers and hoping Jake Bowers solves it for you. And I know he's hitting right now, but again, this is about what he was considered to be back then. Or like, hey, Willie Calhoun, Willie Bangs. It's like, that was the thing. That was what the manager said.
Right.
And I'm not saying that Boone shouldn't be saying that. I understand why he's saying that about his own player. I'm just saying in the sense of, you know, that's where we were at in April of 23. That's the kind of depth you didn't have. I looked at the numbers here. So this is among first basemen with at least 150 plate appearances. Highest WRC plus at the position, Ben Rice. Then you have Nicholas Kurtz, Munetaka Murakami, Wilson Contreras, and Paul Goldschmidt. Paul Goldschmidt. That's crazy. It's ridiculous.
Paul Goldschmidt, supposed to be a part-time player who we banged the table about this earlier in the year when it was still like the platoon between him and Rice. And we banged the table like, and obviously Boone made this flip. Rice has been incredible for this team this year. But now we're at a point where, you know, Goldie does have to play every single day because of what you have on your roster. And for a player that was strictly, hey, you're only going to hit against left-handed pitching. You're playing every single day, and you're producing from both sides. Like, you look awesome, right? And the glove is still there too, Ryan. I think that that's also a thing that's kind of underrated about Paul Goldschmidt, is the glove is still kind of there for being as old as he is. He looks incredible defensively over there at first base still. So the contribution that you've gotten from Goldschmidt, I think, I mean, when was the last time you saw a veteran provide like this for the Yankees? Like, are we talking about 22 Matt Carp? Like, is that what this is? Right. But it's like Matt Carp got 50 games a run. Like, and that was it. Right. We're seeing more from Goldschmidt. And this is a 1 year, $4 million deal. What an incredible bring back for Cashman. Like, that's awesome.
Just got it. I mean, we already played in Seattle, so I was just worried that he would get a ground ball off the foot again. You just have to avoid those from the veterans, because that's what ended it for Carpenter.
What a nightmare.
I mean, but like, you think of when injuries pile up, right? When injuries pile up, you think about Yankee teams who've had that happen. They go through just these miserable stretches, right? It's unwatchable. It's terrible baseball. And I don't know how else to like describe what this team's doing right now, man. It's really cool to see guys step up. Jason Dominguez, double from the right-handed side, the home run yesterday, right? Like, it's up and down, dude. Volpe gets one start the series. He comes up big. Caballero has a golden sombrero yesterday. Then he just launches one 420 out the yard. Again, it's everybody's eating. Goldschmidt's a big part of this. But again, I look at the guys who've been called upon to step up and do something for you. And they've been carrying the load. And look, Goldschmidt's not going to sustain a 150 WRC plus all year.
No.
Right. He's not going to put up, what's he slashing right now? Let me just double check real quick. Yeah. 295, 366, 532. He's not going to do that over 600 plate appearances. I'd imagine it would literally be what, his third or fourth best offensive season ever.
Mm-hmm.
But if you get the hot streak now, then when he eventually cools off, you're going to have pieces back. You're going to have guys who are going to help you. You're going to have guys who are going to contribute to the offense, guys who can take him off his feet a bit. And that's awesome, man. That's just, you're just getting a really, really well-timed hot streak. I don't know, man. Paul Goldschmidt, just, Unk still got it, dude. What an awesome, he's a Hall of Famer, bro. Like, this is awesome to watch.
Yeah, I think that the one thing that you mentioned that I want to emphasize is the Stanton kind of replacement or like fill-in or like, that's something the Yankees never really had. I feel like, because listen, it's every year, right? Like we know what's coming. We know that Stanton's only going to play like 80 to 100 games every single year. There was never insurance for it. And now that there is legitimate insurance, you then stop asking, you ask less questions about what the lineup is and the quality that you're getting day in and day out. Like, I don't, like with the amount of injuries that the Yankees have, and you look at their lineup and they're missing four or five opening day starters that they should have on the roster, I don't freak out about the Yankee lineup. I think it still looks pretty damn good, which is crazy for me to say that. Like, you're missing, I mean, what is that, right? Like, Judge is making 40, Stanton's making damn near, like, you're missing almost $80 million off of your roster in just straight lineup construction, and you still have one of the better offenses not only in the American League, but in the sport, too. So, and I do want to shout out Jason Dominguez, man. I mean, Dominguez was homered three straight days. So he homered Thursday and triple Friday, or Wednesday and triple, Thursday triple, Friday in Toronto, right?
No, I think it's one day up. Thursday, Friday.
Okay, so
Friday Griffin gets hurt. Saturday.
Yeah, okay, so Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Pretty cool for Dominguez. He hits homers in three straight days, two at one level. Then comes up, gets the call Saturday. I'm excited to see him get a little bit of run here because it's going to be an interesting scenario because you don't have Judge, you don't have Grisham. For I think the stint's going to be a little bit smaller. He was out getting field work yesterday, which is a good sign. Just a pulled hammy kind of thing. Like, he'll probably spend the minimum. But I think it's going to be interesting over the next couple of days, Ryan, to see kind of him and Jones get this extended run, right? Like, the question for the longest time was, well, is it going to be Dominguez? Is it going to be Jones? Like, which one's going to stay? Which one's going to go? Now we're at a point in time where they're both here. And realistically, the two of them can compete with each other. And whoever's better stays up and I think probably has a role in this team long term. We're going to see what happens. I'm really excited for it.
Yeah, and I think Jason, so let me not get ahead of myself. Let me start with Jason before I like go back and forth here with Jones. I think Jason has looked really good at the plate. We saw a little bit before the unfortunate crashing into the wall, but even then, the underlying numbers were like, hey, there's something here. He had a base hit kind of taken away from him. It was the same ball. Like, Rice gets a hit and run going on a ball that just skips past McAdoo at first. Then Dominguez hits that same ball, and I imagine McAdoo visualizing the exact same play that just happened a few seconds earlier. Right. Was like, let's get to this ball, and makes a really nice play. But that's a really good swing from Jason. Today, he looked a little overmatched from the right-handed side at first, but then he gets that double. It was two strikes, I think, and he works the count a little bit, and he just pulls it down the line, has a nice walk in the mix there. Like, he is awesome, man. He is awesome. He's an awesome guy in the sense of very competitive. For him to go back to AAA, basically get told, hey, man, you don't have a spot on this team right now. You don't.
Right.
We brought in Randall Grichuk. Like, you don't have a spot on this team right now. And for him to go to AAA and to, instead of just feel bad for himself, he worked, man. He started hitting lefties really well. He's played his tail off. He's earned every opportunity he's gotten. He should have more plate appearances if it wasn't for him busting his ass to go make a great catch against Texas.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Like, just
100%.
So far, like, obviously the offensive numbers on the surface don't look great, but the underlying numbers look good. The process is good. And honestly, dude, the way he carries himself, this is the guy who's going to be in the big leagues for a while. He is.
No, and that is, I think that's been my biggest compliment about him since he's been a big leaguer, because he's had an interesting arc as far as playing time. And, you know, when he originally came up, and then he goes down with the UCL pretty much immediately. And then it just kind of gets weird, right? Like, for him, he never really had a designated spot. Like, they kind of walked in last year and they thought this is the year. And then you obviously have the Grisham breakout. But he is head up the entire time. He's the biggest supporter of all of his teammates, no matter what. Like, for a young player like that, I think that you would expect them to pout. You would expect them to sit on the bench, not really care, you know, just not really care about improving whatsoever. Like, kind of, i.e. Oswald Peraza, sorry, like, you were a poor sport about it. But, like, for Dominguez, he went down to triple. Ryan, he hit in triple. You don't want 36 WRC plus in triple. Like, he looked good. And he comes up.
Just get lost there, right?
Yeah.
Like, I think there are so many guys who, like, you come up. I mean, I don't know what the situation is with this individual because he's not in the organization. But, like, Christian Campbell gets blown up by big league pitching, went down. He's been awful in AAA since. Right, it's not that, like, there's a fear that if you call a guy up too early and they get sent down, it's going to ruin their confidence. Didn't do it for Jason. It didn't.
Nope.
Really impressive, man.
And that is honestly my biggest compliment of him. Not only as a player, but as a human, I think that it's very, you see it far too often.
Yeah.
Right. Where just players put their head down, they stop caring. Like, it is what it is. The awesome thing for me, and this is a last year thing, really, is whenever somebody would hit a home run, you would immediately pan to that dugout. You'd see the Yes camera pan to the dugout, and it's Ahmed coming out, and then Jason's right behind him every single time. And Jason wasn't playing. Like, Jason was sitting on the bench every single day, maybe playing once every six games, because it was just like they were not comfortable playing him in the outfield whatsoever. They didn't have a spot for him. Grisham was so good last year, and it's the exact same attitude this year. Even after the just really weird situation coming into this year where they're like, yeah, like, we don't want to play you literally at all. Like, we're going to bring in a guy who literally is awful and spent a month on this roster and was awful, and they had no business keeping him up. And it's really cool to see for him. So I'm impressed. I'm super excited to see. I think that the questions that we have always had about Jason have been defensively. I think that we've always kind of believed in the bat and what he could be, especially as a left-handed hitter. Obviously, you want to see the right-handed hitting side improve a little bit, but he's going to get time in right field here, which at Yankee Stadium is obviously way easier to play than left field at Yankee Stadium, which is incredibly hard for pretty much anybody, right? Like, there have been people that have struggled out there to the point where the only guy that I think that has actually played the position well is the perennial Gold Glover, Cody Bellinger, out there in left field, who occupies his position at this moment. But he's going to get extended run at right. I'm really excited to see how he does out there. I think he can fill Judge's shoes decently well. Obviously, you can't be Aaron Judge, but I'm excited to see how him and Jones, that little competition, is going to unfold over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, and I think it's for the Yankees, it's information time. Like, you learn something about your squad a little bit. You learn something about your short-term and your long-term. I also think another guy offensively who I want to kind of give some shine to over this series. You know, we talked about Goldschmidt, talked about Jason. We highlighted the final inning of this series, right? But I think this game was middle infield duo, Caballero and Volpe. And I think I said offensive, but say defense, sorry. They played such good defense. Jazz played great defense in series two. Those guys, like, I remember Toronto last year, the turf monster, right? Just ball of, you see a ball to Peraza and Volpe, third base shortstop, that play's not getting made.
Nope.
That play's not getting made. Ball to the outfield, they don't know where the ball's going. They don't know where the ball's going. Ground balls, base hits every single time. The Yankees can't, you know, kicking the ball off the off their shoes, playing like a circus out there. And the defense we saw in this series, at least the last two games specifically, stupendous. Double plays that were turned from Caballero and Jazz. Caballero played a great second base today. Volpe made numerous brilliant plays. Jazz made some really nice plays to bail Cam Schlittler out in some areas where he was in a jam. Just brilliant defense in the infield. Again, something they have not done in Toronto. They usually kick the ball around up there. They usually do.
Yeah. So three things with the defense. A, and we'll start off with the more recent one. Caballero looked awesome at second base. Like, he looked incredible at second base. I didn't expect him to translate that well. Obviously, when you're playing a position that you don't necessarily play, the angles are a little bit different. Like, going from the left side of the infield to the right side can be a little bit difficult. I think that Brady texted us earlier. I don't know if Brady's in chat. He probably is. And was talking about the jump throw from second base that he, like, probably feels a little bit uncomfortable over there. But he still looked really good defensively over there. Secondly, and this was really in the game yesterday, Jazz is so unbelievably good at second base. Like, he is an unbelievable defender. Like, he's a wizard over there. He looks great. And the third thing is, Volpe Cab middle infield pairing defensively turning double plays was crispy today. Like, it was, and I know that you and I had, like, a side conversation about it a couple days ago, talking about just, like, the double play inefficiencies that the Yankees have had with Anthony Volpe over the last couple of years. But they looked really smooth today. I think that they turned two or three, which looked really great that you didn't have a ton of questions about. And it just gets them out of jams consistently. So shout out to them. The middle of the field defense side of the ball, not something that I thought that we'd be sitting here talking about on a Sunday evening. Not me.
Not in Toronto. Not in Toronto.
But it was not.
It was a beauty to watch. And, you know, again, I think defense, actually, I would say I've been a little bit underwhelmed with as a whole this year. I feel like they haven't, like, McMahon hasn't played sharp defense at third. Rosario, Rosario couldn't catch the Black Plague in a densely populated European village. So he's such a bad defensive third baseman. It's brutal to watch. He might be one of the worst to do it.
Yeah, no doubt.
But first and foremost, like, Volpe playing good defense at shortstop and hopefully showing an ability to play other positions, that's going to keep him in the loop if Rosario keeps butchering balls at third. Because they can slot him into the outfield and say, screw it, we'll play him in right field or something.
Right.
This is what we were talking. This is a little bit of last week where you're like, hey, man, you guys, if you can play good defense and keep yourself in the right-handed infield mix, just got to keep yourself in it. Just got to keep yourself in it, man. You don't know who's going to get hurt. You don't know who's going to struggle. You don't know who's going to lose favor within the organization. You just got to keep yourself in the mix. To the credit of Caballero, doesn't matter where you put him on that infield. You put him in the dirt, he's going to make great plays. Jazz is a great defensive second baseman. I know defensive run save hasn't loved him this year, but I still think, like, I watch a tape and I like his defense. I personally think he's a good defender, true talent-wise. I still believe McMahon can turn it around defensively, and he has, to his credit. If the defense can get in tune and they can get really hip defensively, man, it's going to make up for some of the offense they don't have with Judge right now, that they don't have with Stanton. And you're going to see them win ball games they shouldn't be winning. And starters go deep into games that they shouldn't be going deep in because their defense is going to make plays and make something happen. Where, again, man, in Toronto, hoof, how many games got away from them because of defense? They lost the division on bad defense in Toronto. Straight up.
And today, specifically, like, you don't get it great from Warren today.
Yeah.
Right. Like, you don't get it great from Warren today whatsoever. Like, you get the four innings, like, you kind of grinded through. I think you threw 50 pitches within the first two innings. So it was kind of nasty. And you really needed your defense to kind of carry you through this, like, four or five pitcher carousel that you saw today. Right. Like, and being able to keep these games super low scoring, you saw Toronto score two and three runs back to back days, which from an offense that was incredibly potent last year. And I think they're still a relatively good group. I think that you like that. That's a super positive sign. Not only from your bullpen, I think your bullpen looked pretty decent this weekend. I think on the defensive side of the ball, you're making everything happen in Toronto. So that is one thing that really kind of stood out this weekend. And it's just clean, right? Like, it's clean baseball. And I think that sometimes this Yankee team specifically makes us sweat for no reason. Like, I think that's kind of what it is. It's the weird defensive miscues. I think it's the weird bullpen issues that they sometimes have. Like, they make you sweat a little bit more than I think you should when you're watching a baseball game. But this weekend it was clean, which is incredibly refreshing to see. So I kind of want to move to starting pitching here. I think I want to ask you about Ryan Weathers, because at the beginning of this week, we kind of got the weird report during our stream Wednesday that he was available out of the bullpen that day and that he was still going to start Friday. He then goes out on Friday, gives up the 6 runs, and does not look great whatsoever. I kind of want to ask you about Ryan Weathers and the future of him in this Yankee bullpen. Do you think he can keep it up as a starter, or do you think that it's time, once Free goes back, hey, like, you're the bullpen guy, like, you have to go to that role at that point in time?
You know, we talked about fatigue. So people often think velocity goes first. No, command goes first.
Yeah.
And I think Weathers' command is starting to slip. He's not as crisp with his locations. He's missing with fastballs a little more frequently. You're seeing with the four-seamer. Sequencing isn't great. Somebody put up this stat. I think it was Katie Sharp, where it was like the last, like, he gave up a number of home runs over a stretch that had only been matched by Rodon in 2024. And
yeah,
I think he's very much like 2024 Rodon, where there's just these stretches of, oh my God, there are so many home runs here. He gets a lot of strikeouts. He's going to allow damage contact. The underlying numbers are going to be better than the ERA is going to suggest because of it, because his command isn't great. His command his command can be great. It's starting to slip now. Now, as a reliever, I think it will mask some of these issues because, number one, you don't have to mix it up as much. You can just kind of go, hey, my changeup's working today, so I'm just going to throw a bunch of them because I'm only facing one time through the order at most.
Right.
And I think it's going to keep him sharper. It's just going to avoid these, oh, he's gassed. Oh, he doesn't have it. I think of, like, Sacramento. He didn't have it when he messed it up in that final. When he gives up the bomb, he didn't have it then. There are times where he kind of has to wear it, right? Because the bullpen doesn't have it sometimes, and he's got to wear it, and he's got to get smacked around the yard. I think it's a combination of fatigue, of him kind of getting past the innings limit, and I do think whenever they get Freed back, yeah, he's going to have to go to the bullpen. I think he's got to go to the bullpen.
Yeah, the inning stuff is something that you and I have kind of talked about at nauseam, as far as, hey, like, it's been a long time since he's even hit these higher inning totals as a starting pitcher, and that's what you've seen in the shorter samples at Ryan Weathers. He's been a very good major league pitcher, but it kind of gets to a point where your location drops off. And I think that you could see that visually when you go back and watch that start. That's exactly what happens. He's not locating properly, that you're just kind of running out of gas, to the point where I then start asking questions. And I think that he then becomes the obvious candidate for the bullpen role. But I will tell you, Ryan, about Ryan Weathers and him going back to that bullpen, I think that he could be a very good reliever for this Yankee team. I think that the stuff profiles really well as a reliever. And I think that that's even the question that we had when he came in the offseason. Because remember when they traded for Weathers? It was, this doesn't pull them out of the Freddie Peralta market. Or if somehow Scooble goes in the market and he gets dealt, the Yankees would still be in for that even after trading for Ryan Weathers. And I think that they were kind of shaping up for him to be a depth guy and probably a bullpen guy at the end of the day, because you don't need that many starters, right? Especially with the way that they walked into this year. So I think that he's going to profile incredibly well as a bullpen arm once Free comes back into this mix. I'm not sure what his timeline is, and it's kind of funky. I think he threw off a mound yesterday, so maybe we're looking at a couple weeks till Freed's back in this mix. But I think that he profiles very well in that role, and I think that it then translates into a thing where he's not going to throw as many innings this year as he has during the course of his career, specifically in Miami, where he would just get hurt all the time. And you look at your playoff bullpen, and he could be a legitimate great arm out of there for that Yankee team. So while he doesn't look great as a starter, I think that we're starting to see the signs of, hey, like, we're going to push you back to this smaller role. You're going to go back to the bullpen at some point in time. And that's why I wanted to ask you what you've been seeing as far as, you know, what we're kind of getting out of the Weathers, what the future looks like for him. Do you want to move to Young William and what's kind of going on with Young William here?
Yeah, I think it's a lot of the same, right? Like, he's walking guys and like, hey man, we gotta be more aggressive in the zone. I know that the Blue Jays were doing an excellent job staying on pitches, and I know the Guardians do a great job of this as well. But man, there are just some walks in here where it's, come on, man, right? We're putting runners on. And here's the thing, right? The Yankees got away with this on Saturday, but honestly, Warren kind of got away with it today. The Yankees kind of got away with this today too.
Yeah.
When you're facing a team that has really good bat to ball abilities, go after them, challenge them, right? Yep. Challenge them to hit for some power. because when you put them on base, then these singles and their ability to put the ball in play makes them dangerous. It makes them really dangerous. And what they do a great job of is they're going to get your pitcher to 80 pitches in the fourth inning. They're going to get your guy to throw 20 plus pitches in the first inning, and he's going to be tired and gassed throwing him that 21st and 22nd and 23rd pitch. Your legs start going and you suddenly get four innings out of your starter. Warren's got to be more efficient. He's got to attack a little more. I hope this next time out, we start seeing Warren, you know, hey, let's dial it back in. I think we're also seeing a little bit of just like, he was pitching like a number two starter. Right. A little bit of that come yeah. down a little bit, right? Like the year ERA is 3.47. It's a 3.34 FIP. If he finishes the year with those numbers, it's a roaring success.
Right.
But I just think it's a little bit of like, hey, let's get back in the zone, big dog. Let's get back to eating. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And granted, Toronto did an incredible job today of getting him out of that game early.
Yeah.
Right. So they were traffic on the base pass super early in the first and second inning. I think he ended the second inning with 56 pitches. If you're an opposing manager and you look at that pitch count, hey, my offense is doing an incredible job here. Like, we're forcing into deeper counts. We're making contact. It is like we're playing small ball here and we're looking great. Okay. So for Toronto, I guarantee John Schneider was probably smiling ear to ear when he saw that pitch total at the end of it. Right. They didn't capitalize on that, weren't able to win this baseball game, but that's how they were able to get to Warren early today. And they put themselves in a really great position to win this baseball game. I thought that early on, the way that Warren was throwing, I was like, hey, man, like, this is ugly. Like, you're going to get a big one at some point in time. It's going to look gross. So, yeah, I think it's interesting with Warren. We're kind of seeing him, I don't necessarily want to say, like, come back down to earth. Like, I think he's still a super talented pitcher, but he's not like Max Fried. Like, he was pitching like Max Fried for the first quarter of the season, which was like unbelievable. And the numbers were just flawless across the board. So I still think he's a talented guy. I think we could get back on track at some point in time, but it just like, we need to be a little bit more efficient if we're Will Warren here.
Yeah. And again, this is the first kind of extended stretch of ineffectiveness for the rotation. Cole's got knocked around a little bit. Schlittler had a bumpy one against Cleveland. Warren and Weathers have slowed down, right? Like, this is the first bumpy stretch of starting pitching performance, I think, all year. Mm. And for the team to have it happen at an inopportune time when you look at the schedule and still walk away with like, hey, we've been playing good baseball, it speaks to other groups stepping up. It speaks to problem positions stepping up a little bit. And, you know, I think these guys will start getting it going again. I don't think Warren's a true talent like 5 ERA guy. I don't think Weathers is a true talent like 6 ERA guy. But they also weren't true talent sub 3 ERA guys. So there's something in the middle there. We'll figure out what that middle is as the season goes on, Sam.
Yeah, I'm excited to see. So it's been and listen, with Cameron. Okay, yeah. Here's the thing with Cameron is I don't think Cameron looked good yesterday.
No, I agree.
I think that they kind of like they bit him yesterday and he had a career high in walks yesterday. And this Toronto team has always kind of been his trouble team. Like, I think about the game at Yankee Stadium last year where they kind of got to him a little bit, like his postseason start against them, like, wasn't like incredibly great. He was still good, but I think this is the one team that's kind of nipped him in the butt a little bit. But to do what Cam Schlittler does and look not as great as you're expecting him to still go out and give you a 7-inning, 1-run performance, I just think is unbelievable. And I think it speaks to the talent level that we're seeing out of Cam Schlittler right now. Like, I'm watching that start yesterday, I'm thinking danger. Like, hey, like, this doesn't look great. This is like, what? Like, this is one of your bottom half starts of the season. And that's still the result that I'm getting in the box score every day. Like, he's unbelievable. Like, it's crazy the results you're getting out of him right now.
For him to, and you know what I think he has that, and I'm sorry, I don't mean to like, I'm not trying to say other athletes don't have this, and I'm not. You know, I'm going to make a little bit of a parallel here. They're not the same kind of person, not at all. They don't talk the same. They don't interact with media or other opponents the same. Him and Jalen Brunson have sort of this, like, they're going to get it done.
Yeah.
Down, like they got balls, man. Cam Schlittler has balls, man. He talks to Brian Hoke on MLB.com before the series. I think this article came out after they lost on Friday. And he's like,
yeah,
I love rage baiting these guys.
Yeah.
We want to beat them. I don't like them.
Right.
And he's back against the wall, back against the wall, back against the wall. And he's making big pitch after big pitch after big pitch, man. And it's just, you know, I know he hasn't had a history of winning games against the Blue Jays, but he's always put together winning performances that the Yankees haven't capitalized on.
Right.
For the Yankees to get that win is awesome for him. It's awesome for the team, obviously. But it just speaks to the confidence he has, start in and start out. You just can't rattle him. You really just can't rattle Cam Schlittler. He's inevitable, right? Like, he's going to get the job done. When you need a big out, he's going to show up and do a job. He's uber confident, and the team responded again today, because if the Yankees lost today, I mean, that quote's getting plastered everywhere all day.
100%.
So I think the guys, I don't think the guys take an exception to the fact that Schlittler does it. I think the guys are bought in. I think he has a level of mental edge to him that is important for this locker room. Not because everyone needs to go chirping to Brian Hoker or whatever New York sports writer. And we have a great beat crew. So, you know, I'm not saying they're misrepresenting their words either. I think they're representing their words exactly perfectly.
Right.
I don't want, you know, I don't want Ali Sanchez saying how much he hates the Blue Jays in the media. But it's good to have a guy on your roster who's a big name on your team, a big contributor, who, yeah, he talks and he backs it up, man. He talks and backs it up. He's got a track record of doing it.
Yeah, and he's never not, which I think is, like, ultimately the most impressive thing about it, right? I think that we've seen it so many times in professional sports. When a quote comes out like that pregame, and then you're playing in the game the next day or in a couple hours or whenever the article's posted, I think that you're expecting bad results. And it's kind of happened time and time again where just, like, you know, people are chirping, people are talking, like, whatever. It goes out in the media, and then you just kind of get blown up. It blows up in your face. That has never happened to this guy. It's, like, it's crazy. It has never happened to this guy ever, and he just continues to do it, and it's great because that's how talented he is. It is an undeniable level of talent that, hey, like, we're going to win a ball game every single day when this guy's in the bump, and it's crazy. And my last shout-out for him is I loved yesterday. So after the game yesterday, he posts on his Instagram story the video of Paul Goldschmidt hitting the home run in the ninth inning, and he just captioned it, "Unk." So my question for them is, do you think they call him Unk in the locker room, or is it just like an internet thing? Like, because we call him Unk, obviously, but like, are they calling him that in the locker room?
I'm pretty sure there was an article done by Gary Phillips where Jason calls him Young Goldie.
Yeah,
which I think is hilarious. Calls him
Young Goldie. Yeah,
and Ben Rice will go up to him and go, "Hey, Dad, can we have dessert at, like, dinners?" I think that's hilarious. Like, that's so funny. Oh, man. I mean, like, also, I got to point this out. Warren kind of also nudged a little bit, like, the "we don't like the Blue Jays" thing. Warren's kind of also known as this, like, guy who, like, there's a little bit of edge to him. He was kind of pissed off in the dugout after. A little bit. Right. Like, there's a little bit of, like, pacing around to me. He gave this anecdote where, like, Cole's trying to talk to him after he had a bad start. Just like, "Yo, you got to get away from me, man. I can't do this right now. Like, you got to get away from me, man." But I like that, like, embrace it, dudes. You shouldn't like these guys. There should not be friendly. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. spent his entire career making his thing, "I don't like you guys."
Yes.
And I think that's a big reason why they beat the Yankees last year. I think the Blue Jays, and I'm not saying this in a dissing way, not at all, the Blue Jays World Series at the time was beating the Yankees. I'm not saying that it's not derogatory. I hope the Yankees treat beating the Red Sox like the World Series in the postseason, or the Blue Jays, because you have to hate these guys, right? There has to be a hatred. There has to be a little bit of, like, you have to kind of drum it up a little bit, right? It's going to play into that. I think it's going to reflect on how you play on the field. Honest to God, like, I don't like using these kind of terms, because I think it's a little bit, like, it's so, like, Skip Bayless, Stephen A. Smith. But I think the Yankees kind of just wanted it more in this series, man. Yeah. I think there's a little bit of, like, they're kind of itching, like, "Oh, like, we want these games, man. We want them. We want them. We want to win so bad against this stinking team." I think it reflected on the field. They won it. They gutted this one out. This was a gutty, gutty series win. They got punched in the mouth on Friday. You lose Trent Grisham, and they just battled, man. And I do want to give one shout before the ad break. It's your boy, bro. I'm in on Doval.
Hey, we're all in. Right? We're all in.
This is the most obvious. His ERA is bad, but he's going to have the Devin Williams second half, and we're going to be talking about him as, like, their most reliable reliever at one. We're going to be like,
"Yeah."
I guarantee you this. Before August 25th on this podcast, I'll sit here and say, Duvall's, like, top three in the trust tree right now, right?
No doubt.
Or you're going to say it. One of us are going to say it. 100%. Before August 25th.
100%.
Yeah, I'm not saying at the end he'll be top three, but we will think that at some point this year.
The stuff is so nasty that it's not a player I want to give up on. Like, it's just never going to happen. Like, and I don't, and listen, for as extended run as I think that he's gotten,
I think that they think that too. Because I think that any other reliever would have been in Scranton at this point. Like would have been sent down at some point in time. But that's a guy that they continuously put their trust into, and they keep throwing him out there. And sometimes when he's out there, bro, he's just throwing frisbees. Like it's disgusting. Like
he's so nasty, dude. He really is.
Like today was just unbelievable. Yeah. Unbelievably gross. Like I love him to death. And I think that you're right. That is a player that at some point in time we will probably say that about him.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
I do not feel that way about Jake Bird, though. I do not.
No.
I think the stuff is good, but he has no command. He doesn't know where the ball's going.
And here's the thing about him that I want to bring up too. He has one option left.
So he can get that because of that option. They can shuttle him up they can shuttle him up four more times this year.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yep. They changed the option, I think, in the last CBA. But they basically
he only used the one. So I don't know if we're on closing time with him yet. But
yeah, they can send him. They can send him down. And I think I know LeGron ended up actually giving up a home run in the third inning he pitched, but the total relief numbers now are nine and two third innings pitched. Two earned runs, and I think it's like 13 or 14 strikeouts, like three walks, something to that degree. He's right. Not ready to come up yet. They still have to keep doing the deload. You know, that's my favorite word now.
D-load. Yeah. It is great, right?
You know, man, I'm going to be doing this week, right? I'm going to have I'm going to have a bunch of drinks on Thursday. I'm going to deload, have some fewer drinks the next day, then deload again. that's my favorite term now.
That's awesome. Yeah.
You feel like he's an option that can kind of force Bird's hand. You feel like the deadline, you're going to get some upgrades. Still feel like Yovani Cruz can come up and help you, man. Like I really do. But I'm not going to sit here and pretend that you should depend on Yovani Cruz at the end of the year. So, I think that the bullpen is starting to see some guys show up and Cruz is a fireman. Hedrick's right. A fireman. Bednar, I think it's really nice that Bednar's like, I know today was a little rocky, but he didn't give up a run. I don't care. He didn't give up a run. That's all I care about. And one of those hits was some bullshit, dude. But that's another conversation.
But one last thing about that the trio of those guys as of late have been unbelievably great.
Yeah.
Like the trio of them have been awesome. Like your Bednar questions have kind of gone away. I think Fernando Cruz has silently been really damn good this year. Like it's been real quiet about him, right? Because I think Hedrick with the volume and the amount of times that you see Hedrick, it's like, it's kind of in your face. Like you see it all the time and how great he's been for that team because of the innings pitched. But I think the Cruz in his spots has just been so damn good for that team, man. So like that trio, I think is just unbelievably talented. And that's your trust tree, right? Like I think that that's your trust tree right now of like your 7, 8, 9. I think those are your guys. And I think that you have like your lanes for Hedrick. I think Cruz is like pretty stamped as your fireman is currently constructed, and then Bednar gets the ninth every time. So that three over this like 2 to 3 week stretch has been great.
Yeah, I think where I've updated my stance on the bullpen is that you got to shuffle out the bottom three in the depth chart. You got to move away from them and get some better options after the deadline. You got to make sure that bottom three is upgraded. But the lanes to do so have become far easier because the five above them are quality big league arms. Like actual October, like Brent Hedrick comes into a spot and the Yankees are up by one in the seventh inning. That's a guy to go to, you know, that's a guy I'm going to. 100%. So, you know, that's rare air for me. Duvall isn't there yet. I hope he gets there.
He's not
there yet. I think he can. But there's upside there. I think we hit the ad break here. Aspen Vodka player of the series right after. We'll get some series previews. We'll be right back after a minute and a half. Right here on the Fireside Yankees podcast. Let me tell you guys about our friends over at Prize Picks. Prize Picks is America's number one sports pick app. It is a daily fantasy sports platform, and it's distinctly separate from sports betting. The app is super easy to use. Just pick more or less on a few player stats to build and lock in your lineups for the day. It's available in most states in the U.S., including California, Texas, and Florida. Let me show you just how easy it is to build a lineup. Let's look at some of the players that are going to be in today's slate of games. Mike Trout has been red hot. I think I'm going to take more 1.5 hits plus runs plus RBIs. Press more right there. We just got to select two more players, and I think that's how we're going to build our lineup out. Sal Stewart has been red hot. He'll be facing the Giants today, and I'm going to select more on that one as well. And then Braxton Ashcraft. I mean, this guy is nasty. 3.5 Ks, Washington Nationals. I like more here. And with this nice little lineup here, we can clock it in. All you got to do is scroll down, press submit lineup, and look at how easy that is. Our lineup is now put together. Let's go check it out. I like my slate here. And if you guys want to tail my picks and tail my lineups and see how I'm doing, you can follow me at Ryan Garcia ESM on Prize Picks. And if you're ready to get in on the action, all you've got to do is download by clicking the link in our description, and you'll get $50 instantly when you play $5. Again, that's $50 instantly in lineups when you play $5. Let me know how you guys like the Prize Picks app, and play responsibly. We'll see how this lineup ends up doing, and we'll report back to you with our findings later tonight. We're back. Fireside Yankees podcast here. Yankees take 2 out of 3 against the Blue Jays. They drop the first one, win the final two to claim the series. And, you know, you and I were joking on Saturday that we weren't going to have a good pick for this when we were, I think we're trailing, yeah. I think, at this point in the game. You're like, yes, man, this is going to be a really crappy one to have to pick through. But it ends up not being half.
You said it was going to be me.
I was going to pick. I actually fully intended to pick Sam. I believe you dropped. I think you had like a crazy performance in one of our rivals games. And I was like, you know, man, we're just going to reference that. But I actually get to talk about baseball. We can actually take this one seriously. Right. Sam, Aspen Vodka Player of the Series brought to you by Aspen Vodka. I mean, it's an incredible, incredible beverage. I have a bottle of it sitting in my cabinet that I'm going to enjoy following this live stream. I've been holding off a little bit because I wanted to make sure I was nice and safe when I went to New York last night and then got home nice and safe. Shout out Mama Garcia. Sorry for giving you a heart attack when I was in the city, but we were all good. We're all good. And Aspen Vodka Player of the Series. Sam, a lot of options here. Who are you going with?
We're going to be shocked here.
Ooh, really? I'm excited.
We're going to be shocked here. Listen, I personally went on a smear campaign this week on said individual. I actually made 2 posts about him. I just did pretty well, my personal stuff. So I went on a little bit of smear campaign. It's a weird one, but listen, keeps you in the game today. Turned some swift double plays today up the middle. Anthony Volpe with the 2 knocks today was huge for that team. Like, if Anthony Volpe doesn't come through in those spots, I don't think you win that baseball game today. Obviously, when you look at the box score at the end of the game, it gets real gross with the Rice home run and the Caballero home run. Like, it doesn't look like he did anything crazy. But I think in those moments today, wins you that ball game and gets the 1 start this weekend, Ryan. So, like, was on the bench Friday, was on the bench Saturday, which I thought was deserved. And I'm still not at the point where I think that he should play every single day. I think that the lane that they had him in today was perfectly okay. I think it was fine. But he comes through in a big way today with the 2 knocks. Looked great. I was impressed today with what I saw. Just please keep it up. I think the angle that I have with Anthony Volpe and the angle that the fan base has with Anthony Volpe is, listen, man, we don't hate you. We just don't think you're playing well. Like, it's exactly what it is. So that's why there's so much negative criticism. It's not a personal thing. It is about the performance on the field, and we don't see it consistently enough. So shout out to him today. Truly keeps you in the game. I was really impressed by it. Anthony Volpe, Aspen Vodka Player of the Series for me.
I think it's a great pick. I think at the end of the day, right, like I second that statement, man. I don't care. I do not care who the 9 guys are in the starting lineup when the Yankees win the World Series. I just care that they win the World Series.
Right.
Right. Jeremy Sohan was in the final, was on the court when the Knicks clinched their first championship in 53 years. I have zero interest in buying a Jeremy Sohan jersey. But I'll tell you this right now. Jeremy's in the list of boys' names I'm giving one of my kids. I'm going to be the first Dominican to name my kid OG. Okay. First Dominican ever.
That's great.
I have a great pick for mine because we talked about him a good bit. Had a hustle knock in this series, the big home run, obviously. You light my fire. You light my fire. Paul Goldschmidt, baby. Oh, my God. Cash God strikes again, man. What a signing this has been. Paul Goldschmidt, like the big home run Saturday, 3 more knocks today because he just feels like it, man. But very selflessly doesn't pick up another home run, kind of lets somebody else, lets young Benjamin get the go-ahead home run, lets the Cab get a go-ahead home run, a big home run as well, because that's just the kind of leader he is. But seriously, man, I mean, Louis Varland didn't allow a home run all year, but here comes 38-year-old Paul Goldschmidt, and there goes your goose egg. here's one. It doesn't. I feel like that home run changed the series. I thought Saturday was like,
yeah,
we're gonna lose this game. Like, we're gonna lose this game, man. Like, where is this gonna be? This is gonna suck. Nope. Here's Paulie G. So I'm giving it to Paul Goldschmidt. And I think we had really well deserved picks. This was a really fun series pick, one a lot of options I thought about.
Right. And listen, I think the big emphasis with the Goldschmidt home run is Louis Varland's been best reliever in the sport. Like, he's been better than Mason Miller. Yep. Like, it's, and that's a crazy thing to say because of how dominant Mason Miller's been in San Diego. But Louis Varland steps onto the mound for the Toronto Blue Jays, you're not, like, you're getting out of that inning. You're clean. You're good. And I think that's such an injection of life into that Yankee team Saturday night. Like, you're feeling good. You just had your 38-year-old backup first baseman. It's a go-ahead home run off of the best reliever in the sport. First one he gives up in a year. That's injected life in your ball club right there, Ryan. So, huge moment. And I totally agree with you. I think they win the series in it, like, right there with that swing.
And I'll also say this, you know, it felt like a different kind of game, the ones we've been used to watching last year, right? Last year's team was good, don't get me wrong. But, you know, a lot of narratives, I think, died this week. Yankees can't be a good team, swept the Guardians, who, I mean, I don't think the Guardians are a good team, but the whole barometer is above 500. So
playoff team.
That. Yeah, I'll play into the stupid, like, we have to pretend the A's are good because they beat us in April and then pretend
right,
that they're,
yeah.
And then stop pretending that they're good because we beat them, like, whatever. They're not right. Good. The Yankees can't win close games. Well, they just won two close games against the Blue Jays. Actually won a lot of close games. Won a lot of really close, like, swing games this week.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of gut wins. A lot of, like, what you got in here, man? What's Cleveland. In here?
Yeah, Cleveland. Right? Yeah.
This was for you, Cleveland. I guess, well. This for, right, you know
bro.
What? No.
All right, bro.
You're right. This right, for bro. You, Chris Drew. This is for you, Chris Drew.
This is for you, Kenny.
One final question I want to get to, because I you know, man, I'm an idiot for never mentioning this beforehand, but I want to get your thoughts on this real quick. There's a guy in Scranton. He's 21 years old. His name's George Lombard Jr.
Okay.
He's really hitting the ball really well down there. Do you get the sense that he's coming up this summer, or are you like, that's 27. Like, we're not in 26 with Lombard. It's 27. Or do you think it's happening this year?
No, we'll see in August. Yeah, we're 100% going to see in August. Listen, for the urgent steps that they've taken this season, as far as, you know, the way that they've kind of manufactured their roster, moving LeGrande back to the bullpen is kind of the latest in their urgent moves, getting him up to triple because he was just dominating double. I don't foresee, Ryan, them making a move this summer at the left side of the infield. Like, I don't really think they're going to acquire a third baseman. I don't think they make a big swing at a shortstop. I think that you look internal, and I think that – and listen, George has been incredible as of late in triple. Just hit another home run the other day, and I tweeted out. I said, hey, we're going to see you in August. And I think that trend continues with this Yankee team because, listen – if there's a player down there right now that I think that can help your big league club, I think they're going to bring him up and I think they're going to play you. And I think that you're going to see that later in the year with LeGrande. And I think that Lombard can also be put in that exact same basket of, I'm not going to be surprised on August 15th if that's my starting either third baseman or shortstop. It's not going to shock me in the slightest whatsoever. And I think that it's going to reach a point, Ryan, where your best nine at the end of the year could include him. So, I'm very confident that we're going to see him at some point in time this year.
I agree, and I'll mention this. Since May 31st, entering play that day, he's raised his – so entering play on May 31st, he had a 608 OPS. He's increased his OPS by 140 points in 15 days. Yeah, man, see you in August. And I'll say this, he is a top five prospect in baseball. He is an elite prospect. He's a brilliant defender. He's smashing the baseball. The plate skills are starting to come together. He turned 21 a few weeks ago. This guy's like a year younger than me, dude. I'm still wrapping up my final spurt in college. George Lombard Jr. would be in college right now.
Mm-hmm.
He's ridiculous. He's ridiculous.
Unbelievable ball player. Man. Yeah, and I think that also what he brings to the table is he can play all three, right? Like, yep. he can play two, he can play short, he can play three. Like, I think that that's going to be super valuable for them. And listen, Like, I like we're not there with Anthony Volpe yet. So we don't know. Like, I couldn't tell you what his fate's going to be at the end of the year. But listen, if George comes up and can play all three, and Cabbie can play all three, and even have Jazz who can play three for you, right? And even McMahon can play three and short for you. So if Volpe doesn't produce, and you have, and this is 2 months from now, Volpe doesn't produce, and George is raking down there and can give you complete versatility at all the infield positions, wouldn't shock me if that's the flip. Not at all.
I'm excited to see what happens this summer with George Lombardi. I hope he keeps raking. We have to do series preview. Then we'll do final thoughts. So
yes.
I had to squeeze in Lombard there. Yankees get, oh man, oh my goodness. Sam, when I kind of forgot this was the case tomorrow. Oh, it's an off day.
It's glorious.
It is an off day.
It's beautiful.
But after the off day, they're going to play, they're playing a first place team, Sam. The Chicago White Sox are in first place. They just took a series from the Dodgers. Dude, they're on one. They're on one. Not a team to overlook. Gerrit Cole versus Davis Martin on Tuesday. Martin's been one of the best pitchers in the American League this year. If I'm not mistaken, I think he's actually like a top five pitcher by wins above replacement. 2.41 ERA and 13 starts. Then it's Carlos Rodon versus Anthony K. Anthony K, 4.34 ERA, more of a soft tossing lefty. And then it's Ryan Weathers versus Sean Burke to wrap things up. Sean Burke has been pretty solid, 4.15 ERA, 23% strikeout rate. On a good day, he can get you. On a bad day, you can get him. Sam, how are the Yankees going to do in this series, man?
So here's the thing. I think Davis Martin's been so good that he beats the Yankees. I think Davis Martin beats the Yankees Tuesday. But then I think you win the next two. I think Davis Martin kind of smacks your lineup around on Tuesday to the point where it's kind of a like a wake-up call to that organization. You're like, hey, I'm going to wake the hell up. We got to win these next two ballgames, son. Rodon goes out, looks better. Or not better. He's been fine. Oh, whatever. Weathers comes out, looks a lot better. I think Cole loses. I think Cole loses Tuesday. Like he's been, like Davis Martin's been so unbelievably dominant that like we're there. I think they're going to snag one. So we'll go loss one win this week against first place Chicago White Sox. First place Chicago White Sox were nuts, but that is a super talented group. Shout out Mydroth, Ananachi. I know that they're down Murakami right now. Vargas has been awesome for them this
Teal's
year.
Been out all year too.
Yeah, and no Teal, right? So this is a really talented offensive group. I think it's going to be a fun one. Right? I think it's going to be a really fun series for them. So, shout out to them. But I think we're going to loss, win confidently this week against Chicago.
Yeah, I'm with you on the 2 out of 3. I think they're going to win actually the first game. I think they'll win the second game. I think they'll lose the third game. I think the way they've been hitting the ball hard, it kind of scares me with Weathers. I think that if Weathers doesn't have his A game, that could get rough. And again, this is very like 24 Rodon where when it's bad, it's bad. Like you get a 5-start stretch where he's allowed like, God, he's like, it's like 30 runs in 30 innings.
Right.
Now the one thing that I like is that there are two pitchers in this series that the Yankees can hit. The Yankees have been awesome against lefties. I don't know if you saw a stat where we're like 15-2 in our last 17 games against lefty starters. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
the Yankees see a left-handed starter and Paul Goldschmidt just strikes the fear of God into them.
They can roll out that just like lefty mash lineup,
right?
Like that's the advantage of that team, right? Is that they could just roll out that just like death lineup of just lefty mashers. So I think that's a big advantage that they have this year compared to earlier seasons.
Yeah. So I think we're in agreement on 2 out of 3, but I could see them losing this series. Like the White Sox are a good team. This is
for sure.
The White Sox, at least a legitimately good offense. That's I do strongly believe this is at least a legitimately good offense.
Right.
Any final thoughts before we get out of here, Sam?
Another shout out to the Knicks. I know that you had a fun weekend. Shout out to Big Janks. Shout out to Duvall. You're the greatest. I love you. Like you're TJ. Dominguez, love you. Volpe, hey man, just keep proving me wrong, dude. That's all I ask of you. Yeah, man, that's it, dude. I don't got too much today. I don't got too much.
Yeah, man. And I'm, you know what, man, sometimes we had a fun show. I think it was a fun series.
Oh,
let's hope to keep having some fun. What's up?
I'm so sorry. Nerf Cyclops.
Oh yeah. Please. Look,
slam that guy into the ground, bro.
The developers at Marvel Rivals. You got it. You got to fix it. You did a great job with Dino, nerfing him, making him go from somebody who was so annoying that it made me contemplate whether I wanted to keep playing the game until they nerfed him. But Cyclops, it's not to that degree, but still, let's get it done.
You got to slam that guy into the ground. Yeah. I mean, it is. It's unbelievable.
I think he's ridiculous in the game. Stop. We played a game where it was 4 DPS, 1 healer on both sides. Please.
Out there playing the game, like double support, double tank. Please. That's all we ask of you. That's all we ask of you.
Again, the issue is Cyclops so good. You one slot's away Cyclops. So it's in like the next five are just building off of that.
Right. Yeah.
Please fix the game. Yeah, man, if you guys enjoy this kind of content, make sure you like, subscribe, turn on that notification bell. You can follow Fireside Yankees on all of your favorite social media platforms, including Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, Facebook, and, of course, this YouTube page. The audio will be available for this on Spotify, Apple, really, wherever you get your podcasts tomorrow morning. And, we had a new Aspen Vodka drink drop, Cole's Crush, so you guys should check that out. I'm probably going to try and make it, not to the same degree that Sam does, because Sam makes every drink look so damn good. But I'll make my best work out of it. 2013 Boone Logan. Let's go, Yankees. Peace out.